Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Lord, glorify your name. Let the honor be yours. Let the glory be yours. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, scripture tells us that again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised in the house that he was around. It was noised in the house. May I say to you today that the Lord is in the house.
Amen.
He came into Capernaum again. The Lord is in the house. This morning we had a great time in the presence of God. A great, great time. The glory of God is heavy in this house. The presence of God is strong. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Two things happened after Solomon made an end to praying. The fire of God came down and the glory of God fell down. When we talk about glory, it means honor. It means esteem, majesty, abundance, wealth and weight. But the one I want to pick this morning is weight. The glory of God has weight. And that's why I say it's heavy in the house today. And we've seen that from the first service even until now. Now, when we talk about glory, it could be symbolic. It could be somebody that have glory. A human being can have, you could use the word glory. But the Bible tells us when we talk about human glory, it's like a flower. It does wither away. But when we speak about the glory of God, it's heavy, it's eternal, it's forever, it's everlasting. It doesn't diminish, it doesn't change, it doesn't fade. Now, I want us to look at 1 Kings 8:11. I'm going to be very fast to see how best we can save time. First Kings 8:11. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of God had filled the house. Genesis 31:1, we are seeing scriptures where we see the glory of God coming down again and again. So in the lives of men, in different generations, men have been able to bring down God's glory by acts or by some of the things that they have engaged themselves in. For any man to see the glory of God, for it to come down, something must have activated it, something must have brought it to come down. Genesis 31:1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob had taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's heart, he gotten all his glory. So speaking about a man's glory, it seems to be when we talk about a man's glory, it's more of possession. More of possession. Now, I just said to you that glory has weight. 2 Corinthians 4:17. It's only wise that we see that from scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So when you want to see glory, if you want to experience the glory of God, know that it comes with weight. It's heavy. So it's not to be taken lightly. Can you handle the glory of God? Because when it comes upon a man, it's heavy. Hallelujah. It requires you to handle it, to be able to handle the glory of God. Now, you'll be wondering, what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about how to sustain this weight. In other words, how to sustain the fire of intercession. Now, from the end of last year, we've been looking at scriptures and we've been understanding that God is about to restore to us all that the enemy has stolen. And we've engaged ourselves in prayer, in fasting, and we've been doing this. But the church has stopped fasting. In other words, the church has come to a point where we have not asked everybody to continue to pray and fast. But how do we sustain what we have already received? In other words, how do we sustain this fire of prayer, of intercession that we have been carrying along from last year? Because I believe that even though you are still praying on your own, you're still fasting. How do you sustain this fire? How do you sustain this way? The glory of God is already present. We are seeing it already from testimonies. How do we sustain it? That's what we'll be looking at. How to sustain the fire of intercession. Proverbs 27. We're going to see how we can sustain the fire of intercession. Because oftentimes you find people, they come to a point where they feel, right, there's a season in their life where they are, I'll use the word in quote, very spiritual. They are praying all the time. They seem to be fasting more. They seem to be doing the right things in their minds all at that season. But what happens? It seems as if that season phases up and they go on to become just carnal men again. But how do we carry on with this fire when the season of prayer and fasting, when it comes up, when the season of intercession comes, how do we sustain it? How does God help us sustain it so that we continue in that spiritual atmosphere? Proverbs 27 verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. Hallelujah. Permit me, by now you will know it's my custom that when I pick a scripture, I like to pick the words carefully and to look into it so we have an understanding of what God is saying. Now, whoso keepeth, it means to guide. It means to protect. It means to maintain. It means to obey. It means to observe, to watch, to keep, to besiege a city. Hallelujah. The Bible is saying here that whosoever guides, protects, maintains, obeys, we are trying to see how we can sustain the fire, obeys, observes, keeps watch. Hallelujah. Whosoever. Now, what is the meaning of this fig tree? What is it? What does it mean, fig tree? Is it just a big plant out there? No. It means the church. It means your home. It can mean anything that you put yourself under. But I'm going to be looking at it in the light that it is the church, the house of God. The church is a very powerful institute. And it's sad when people don't understand the authority that the church has. When we think we can go in and come in however we like, whenever we like, and fold our hands and not do anything, there's no way you can sustain that fire. The Bible here is saying, whoso keepeth the fig tree, is not who owns the fig tree. Did you notice that? It's not saying the owner of the fig tree. It's saying whoever keeps the tree. Now, the church has so many fruits, and it is falling in every direction. It's only the man that is keeping the fig tree that will enjoy the fruits. Hallelujah. Only the man that is keeping the fig tree. When we say keep, it means to ensure that animals, wild animals, because we are talking about a fig tree here, figuratively, wild animals do not come and eat it. Now, when you talk about whoso keepeth, it means you have benefits. There are benefits. If you want to enjoy the church, start interceding for the church. That need that you want to see in your life, that thing you want to see God do for you so desperately, intercede for the church. The fruits that will be falling, it will come your way. It will come your way. If you observe the house of God, the household of God, men that have advanced in this life, I'm not talking about when we go to heaven, Because when we talk about going to heaven, it looks like very distant, and we cannot really, our minds cannot really comprehend. In this life, are men that have waited on God in keeping the fig tree. Now, these people, when we talk about to wait, it means to submit to the church. To submit to the church. As a young girl, years ago, while I was growing in the things of God, I heard a minister make a statement. I wasn't thinking of marriage. I wasn't of a marriageable age. He says, any woman that can submit to the church will submit to any man. Young men that are not married is a secret. Any young lady that cannot submit to any church, that cannot put herself under the church authority, watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Hallelujah. Any woman, I am sure that Sister Dairy will submit. Without a shadow of doubt, I am sure. Any woman that can submit to the church can submit to her husband. It is key. It is a secret. It is a mystery. Hallelujah. It's a secret. Now, I want to look at who is an intercessor, because I'm running really fast. Who is an intercessor? Who is an intercessor? Now, when we talk about intercessor, because we are looking at how to keep this fire, how to keep the fire of intercessory. Who is an intercessor? Because what comes to our mind is we think God has raised up specific people to be intercessors. And so we can laze about. And so we can sleep. So we can just channel all our problems to them and go and rest, because God has called them to intercede for us. Isn't it? Now, an intercessor is someone who is able to identify needs or problems of individuals or people and compassionately seeks to effect a change. I'm going to say that again. An intercessor is somebody that is able to identify a need of a church, of a person, or people, and compassionately seeks to bring about a change. Seeks to bring about a change, not one that is whinging. Hallelujah. I actually heard somebody say once, I am sick and tired of the church. Not here. Hallelujah. And I was wondering, it's not a member, so it was, she wasn't speaking of this church or the person was, and I was wondering, what do you mean? Is it your church? No. I am sick and tired of the body of Christ. That is dangerous. So I knew it was time for me to, like the scripture will say, take myself to my tent. That person is now dangerous, is walking on dangerous ground. You cannot be tired of the church. We don't understand what the church is. If you see something that you feel is an issue, you have identified a problem, God now expects you to seek to bring about a change. That is what an intercessor is. So an intercessor is not for a specific group of people. There are things that I may not see. There are things that the pastor may not see. There are things that the prayer team may have not seen. But if you have seen it, you are an intercessor. God expects you to compassionately intercede, pray, and seek to bring about a change in prayer. Not in gossiping. Not in running from one church member's house to the other to announce the problem. Have you not noticed? Have you not seen it? I don't think it's right. No. To seek a change through the acts of prayer for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Now, you cannot help someone that you have not prayed for. It's very important we know that. And I thought about that statement myself. You cannot help any man you haven't prayed for. You cannot. Hebrews 7. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus. No wonder Jesus is our high priest. And Jesus is able to bring about a change in our life. And a change that is forever. Hebrews 7, 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for what? For them. That's what makes Jesus our high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession. Well, if you have it all sorted, then why is Jesus still interceding for you? If you have it all sorted. So, when you hear statements like that, I am sick and tired of the church. Something is wrong with that person. Seriously. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for the church, for us. That's why Jesus is our high priest. You can never help any man. Now, if I see a person in need and I give that person money and I move on, the person is able to buy food for himself for that moment. Have I truly helped that person? Have I truly helped that person? I've only solved a temporary problem for the now, but have I truly brought about a change in that person's life? No true change can come except the act of prayer for the glory of God. Now, uttermost means complete. A complete change. There are three kinds of prayers. We'll talk about the private prayer, the congregational prayer, and the public one. Now, I believe that the word itself explains it. Private, you know what it means. Private is a deep kind of prayer. Deep kind of prayer that nobody can actually relate with. It has to do with you and God. Now, the way I will pray in church and when I have my private prayer is very different. I'm a different person when I'm praying privately. A different person. When I say different person, not that I'm faking it here, but it is more intimate, more depth. There's more depth to that prayer. Hallelujah. And when we go through this private prayer, oftentimes we have to be alone, all by ourselves. All by ourselves. Congregational prayer is what happens here. Hallelujah. And it's powerful because scripture talks about iron sharpeneth iron. Now I want us to look at the book of Genesis 21. The book of Genesis 21. From verse 10 to 18. Wherefore he said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bound woman. In all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him. Watch that. A good way off, as it were, a bold shoot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Haggai out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Haggai? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Hallelujah. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Now, when we have private prayers, moments where we are able to shed some tears before God, most times these tears are very personal, they are very painful ones. Heaven does not take lightly the tears of believers or the tears of children of God. Heaven responds to tears. What am I saying? The scripture tells us that God keeps our tears in a bottle. Now, when I talk about tears, I'm not talking about people that are gifted in just crying. Hallelujah. Let me explain what I mean. You know, some people are very good. I don't know if it's like an attention thing. So once they see you, they just start crying. What is the problem? They cry and cry and cry and cry. Hallelujah. It's all right to cry. It's good to let out the emotion. When I talk about heaven respecting tears, if you've ever been through a painful period, a painful time, and you actually go into this private prayer, most times you will know that tears will come down your eyes. It looks as if words are not just enough to explain what you want to say to God. Those are the kind of tears I'm talking about, that heaven gathers in a bottle. That's what scripture says. It is kept in a bottle and God looks at it. We look at the account of this lady, Haggai. God actually was the one that told Abraham to send her off. Sarah was saying, I don't want this woman here anymore. Send her away. Not just her, send her son with her. And God supported Sarah. God said to Abraham, indeed, listen to what your wife has said. Send this woman off. And your son, send him off. But for your son, because he's your son, I will make him a nation. And Abraham, a man of faith, fathers of faith. These are people that we look up to and we want to look at how they worked with God. The Bible said early in the morning, the next day, the moment Abraham hears the voice of God, the next thing, Abraham obeys the voice of God. Remember I said, whosoever keepeth, to keep means to obey, to be obedient. Hallelujah. Abraham woke up the next morning, gave this woman water, sent her off with the son, and she was off. Now they spent everything, they were in the desert, and death was imminent. The Bible says, Hagar put the son away, and she went on the other side. She didn't want to see the son die. The Bible says, and she lifted up her voice, and she wept. To me, it looks like, see, that woman cried unto God, because the Bible says heaven responded. God sent an angel there and then. And God has said to Abraham, I will make the young man a nation. Now God changed his mind. If you read 18, he said, I will make him a great nation. Hallelujah. Not just a nation, but a great one. And that's what prayer does. It brings about a change. So when we talk about intercession, we are not talking about how long you spend in prayer. And I was praying for 2 hours. And I prayed for 7 hours. When I came out, no. I'm talking about the change. Has it brought change? Hallelujah. Has it brought change? Have you left that place knowing that you have met with the Lord? The Bible says, Hagar, she was a bound woman. So actually, this woman would not really say she was a believer. The Bible says, God sent an angel, much less you, when you pray. When you pray to bring about a change, to effect a change, God will send heaven to back you up. Now somebody will say, why would we pray? We'll be hearing all sorts. Hallelujah. All sorts have been coming up this morning. Our mind needs to be changed. Hallelujah. Now, when scripture, I love what David did. When David went to battle, or rather, David actually went to see his brothers. And the Bible says they were fighting, or rather, the children of Israel, they were in the valley of Elah. And there came a champion out of the host of the Philistines, and they troubled Israel day and night. Day and night. Is there a champion in your life? Day and night troubling you. Day and night. People of God, when I began to look at this day and night, so it means there was no moment of rest. Because when it's day, it's as long as you can still see, the sun is still up. So night is when the sun is gone. So there was no rest. Day and night troubled Israel. And when this man showed up, David, he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there no reason why you should pray to seek a change? That champion that has come out, it could be cancer, it could be HIV, AIDS, is a champion. There's no doubt he's a champion. It could be poverty, hallelujah. It could be depression. Name it, a champion has come out of the host of the Philistines, troubling you day and night. Brethren, is there not a cause? Rise up like this man David and say, is there not a cause? Seek to bring about a change. A change. A change for the glory of God. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. I love what Isaiah said in the book of 1st Isaiah. It says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Let's look at that quickly. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah 1. I want to spur you up that whenever you see a thing that is not right, let your heart be charged to seek a change in prayer for the glory of God. Isaiah 1. And in verse 8, Isaiah began to say, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage, in a vineyard, as a lodge, in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. As a besieged city. Now, when the Bible talks about the daughter of Zion, what comes to your mind? Zion, you know, is the house of God, is the church. He said, but it is left as a cottage. What does it mean to be left? It means, you know, whatever you have left over. Whatever is left over is always the least, isn't it? It's never the very best. Leftover. So when we talk about the daughter of Zion being left as a cottage there is symbolic of ruins. Living in makeshift houses. That was the situation. Hallelujah. Living in makeshift houses. Actually, that word, cottage, when I looked at it and began to study, I also saw that it was meant for cattle. For cattle. That's where the church had found themselves, the daughter of Zion. That's what had left. Not just the house for cattle, but it's actually the leftover one, so the very worst. So I say to you, is there not a cause? Whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. I'm not talking about positions. You might be doing something in God's house, and nobody knows. Nobody recognizes it. Nobody acknowledges it. Nobody has noticed. It is not the leaders of the house that gives honor. It is God. It is God that honors. It is not, I'm not talking about post or position. It is God that honors. Somehow, honor will fall your way. That is the word of God. Honor will fall your way. How do we sustain this fire of intercession? By keeping the fig tree. By keeping the fig tree. Look at what you need to do. Engage yourself in it. The church of God is powerful. The Bible says, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you allow here is allowed in heaven. And the book of Ecclesiastes, before I just leave, tells us, I have seen an evil under the sun. Evil. He said, fully is made to sit in dignity, and the rich are sitting in low places. Princes are walking. Servants are riding on horses. Hallelujah. It is an evil. It's an evil when we see believers lacking. It's an evil under heaven. It's happening is because you have allowed it. You permitted it. Seek a change. You allowed it. All the rubbish you see around you is because you allowed it. Every day Goliath came and cursed the God of Israel, not just Israel, the God of Israel, the Almighty, Sovereign. By his spoken words, everything we see today came into existence. God sat still in heaven. You allowed it. Israel permitted it. 40 days, Israel allowed it. Till one man showed up and said, is there now not a cause? There is a reason to stop this man. Stop it, believers. Look at the situation and stop it. Cancer, HIV, whatever the champion is, it's an evil. It's an evil. An evil is going on. Princes are trekking, walking. Servants are riding in horses. It's an evil. Scripture says it's an evil. You have permitted it. Hallelujah. You are going to stop it. You have the power. Whatsoever you bind, what you allow is allowed. What you permit on earth is permitted. It's permitted. I remember some of the children I teach, they were asking, oh, your kids are going to do that. I said, they will not. They will not. I do not allow it for them to go riot. It doesn't matter what you see. Refuse it. If you are a parent here, and any of your children, they are going the opposite direction, contrary to what you expect, you believe, stop it. Stand up and stop it. Don't complain. I tried. I've taught you. Stop it. Stop it. It's in your power. It's in your power. The Bible says an evil fully is sitting in dignity, and the rich is sitting in low places. It's wrong. Change the order. Change it. Change it. We need to seek to effect a change. City of God, we are renting accommodation. It's an evil. It's an evil. We ought to own our own place. We ought to own our own place. It's an evil. It is an evil. You see the way I'm rushing now is because we need to clear up this place. By one, we need to get out of here. It's an evil. What you allow, God will allow. What you stop, God will stop. Enough. I was so blessed this morning when God began to dish out money to believers. We were receiving it. We were taking it. Watch it. Watch it. Millionaires from this place. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. We are not just bragging. We say it, we declare it, and we see it. Money. We call it forth. We call it forth. All this talk about at minimum of 40, minimum of 50 pounds. Sometimes I sit there and I'm very uncomfortable. My God. If only God would put this money in my hand, we'll buy this thing and get out of here. Our decoration, we do lovely things. This has been there for how long? How many months now? It's an evil. We need to seek a change. I'm saying this seriously. I'm showing you things that you can see so that you begin to sustain the fire of intercession. You see this thing, you seek to bring about a change. I tell you, there are so many fruits. It will fall to you. Honor is coming upon you. It's coming upon this house by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise.